Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're slowly making our way this week through the beginning of St. Paul's letter to the Thessalonians. Made it mainly up and through verse 5, well, at least the first part of verse 5, which we ended yesterday, where Paul says, "For our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit." Paul said he knew that the brothers and sisters that he was writing to were beloved by God and chosen by God. Why? Because the gospel penetrated their hearts. Because by the power of the Holy Spirit, faith conviction was born in their hearts that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's that simple. That's the heart of the matter. And Paul's rejoicing in it. He knows that's a miracle. Remember when Jesus asked the apostles the question, "Who do men say that I am?" And they gave a few answers. And then Peter stood up and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are God's anointed Son," essentially, Peter said. And Jesus was pleased. He was delighted. And he looked at Peter and he said, "Peter, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my heavenly Father made it known to you. The mystery that was hidden for ages in God, that God would send forth his Son into the world for the sake of its salvation. And in a person, in Mary's Son, in Jesus of Nazareth, is the fullness of the life of God. God himself, the second person of the Trinity, came to become one of us. He became incarnate." And Peter recognized it. Why? How? Well, he recognized it because God the Father revealed it to Peter. "You are the one the people of Israel have longed for, that the prophets have told us about. You're the one who's filled with the anointing of God." And so when Paul sees the faith, and that includes a confession by the people, you know, a repentance, and yes, I believe the words of Jesus. Yes, I believe he's absolutely right about my need for forgiveness. Each of these people in this community who'd been baptized into Christ repented. They made that change of heart by God's grace. They thought the light went on, and the light of Christ and the light of his good news began to shine in their heart in a new way. And they could see the reality of sin. You know, Jesus was so clear, and Paul and the apostles just simply echo the words of Jesus. And the church today is meant to do the same. I'm frustrated at times, and it can be discouraging watching that the preaching of the gospel isn't as clear from various teachers across the church today. They don't speak in the way the apostles spoke, even some bishops. They don't speak with the clarity and the conviction that Paul speaks about and speak into people's lives in a way that helps them become clearer about their condition before God. Paul spoke a word. The apostles proclaimed words to those communities they went to. One of the first things they said is, "Repent of your sins." And by God's grace, people could see the reality of sin's work in them. They didn't go to them and say, "You're good, you're special, you're so good and you're so special that Jesus is coming to you, you're irresistible, he's here, so why don't you come along with us?" No, they declared that Jesus Christ had come in the flesh, that he was crucified, that he shed his blood for the forgiveness of sins, that he was raised from the dead, and in him he began the new creation, and that he was offering them an opportunity to be saved. He came to seek and save the lost, to be saved from what? From sin and from death. Sin reigns in death, Paul said. You see the consequences, the power and the reality of what sin does. It puts us in this condition of separation from God with no access to his divine life. And we're destined toward death and eternal separation from him. That's clearly what the apostles preached, and as did Jesus, as did many of the saints. And so their first move was not a psychotherapeutic move to keep encouraging people about how good they are and how, you know, coming with Jesus can be a kind of value add for your life. You know, it's another positive thing that you can have for your life. It's going to enhance your life in some way. No, that's not what they did. That's what a lot of contemporary preachers do. I mean, people do. And even in the Catholic Church, sometimes priests and lay people and bishops even talk that way. And they never bring people into these very words that Jesus spoke, that the apostles spoke, and the diagnosis that Jesus made about the human heart. This is so important for us to understand. and why the good news is good news. Because Jesus said this. He said, look into the human heart. You'll see that what defiles a man is what comes from within him, not from without. Our culture today is obsessed with victimhood. Everybody's got an axe to grind. Everybody's got an issue. Everybody's got, you can point to the people that have made their life not work. Well, in some cases, that's true, right? Dimensions of their life. But the bigger thing that all of us share in common is what Jesus said about us. And it's the real source of the biggest problems that we all have. It's our battle against the world, the flesh, and the devil, and it's revealed in a human heart that's fallen and corrupt. Jesus said, look in your heart. What comes from your heart? Anger, jealousy, rivalry, conceit, hatred, unforgiveness, lust, rage, gossip, you name it. The saints, the apostles talked about these things. Jesus talked about these things regularly. And he said, this is what's in the fallen human heart. It's the result of the fall. And we're living in a sin-sick condition. We need a physician. We need God. And he's done it. He sent his son to deal with the sickness of the human heart. The prophets of the Old Testament said, God's going to give you a new heart. That's at the core of your being, that seat of decision, that place from which you live your life. It's not perfectly good. Today, people want to deny the reality of the fallen condition in the human heart and say all the problems are somewhere out there. It's all because I'm having a negative, you know, I'm making bad decisions for my life. It's someone else's fault. It's not my fault. Well, that's a complete lie. It's a complete lie. Do other people influence that in us? Sure. Evil spirits do too. So does a fallen world that rejoices in things that God finds profoundly offensive. And we're seduced into these things. So it's not simply the person, but the reason we're so vulnerable to it, we're so susceptible to it, and we actually connive with it is because our hearts are sick. We're spiritually sick. And Jesus, the good physician, has come to heal the condition of the human heart, to make us a new creation. That's what it is. That's what's happening. And that's good news. That's fantastic. That's amazing. It's the gift beyond all gifts. I'm going to be made new. And there will be no more crying, no more tears, no more unforgiveness coming out of me, or anger, or gossip, or lust, and the things that are present in our lives. It's all going to be taken away. It's happening here on earth now. If we walk in him, we cooperate with him, he gives us the power and the capacity to subdue those drives in our lives, and they no longer have to dominate us. And that new creation begins now, and the saints are a living witness to it. And friends, if you're stuck in bondage and habit patterns of sin and discouragement and darkened mind, whatever it is you're battling with, don't be discouraged. Because if you're willing to accept Jesus' diagnosis of your heart and admit your sinfulness and be quick to forgive others, really quick, because the measure with which you measure out is going to be measured against you, Jesus said. And everything Jesus said is totally, absolutely true. You can take it to the bank, all of it, bet your whole life on it. The measure with which we measure out is going to be measured against us. If we're stingy and unforgiving, that's what's going to happen to us. It's going to come back on us in that way. If we refuse to forgive, God's not going to forgive us. So be generous in forgiveness. Be tender. Be merciful to people. To be kind like your Heavenly Father is toward you. And it's funny, some of us don't receive the good news fully that Paul's talking about. That power that he's talking about here in the Holy Spirit is not at work. We're not permitting it to be at work. That is, we're not cooperating with it. I'm not going to forgive that person ever for what they did to me. I'm going to remind them and everybody I know what they did to me. I don't have to forgive them. I'm not giving up my rights. And we can insist on that. And that's, on a human level, not surprising. Because we're fallen, we're hurt, and we're angry. Injustice has happened to us. But we have to remember We're baptized into Christ now, and that old man that claims all those rights has been put to death. And how does that happen? We're united in our baptism to the crucifixion of Jesus. We're that act of love and forgiveness and mercy of Jesus offering up his life on the cross, that act of love and the blood of Jesus Christ is applied to our lives in baptism. And our sin is taken away. And Jesus looks on you and says to his Father, Father, forgive him. Forgive Peter, for he does not know what he's doing. In his darkened mind and his pride and his weakness, let's take away his sin. He's coming to us now. So that's what happens in baptism. It's taken away. And you're given a new power and a new capacity in the Holy Spirit to live a different way of life. And your life now is meant to look like the crucified one and to imitate Jesus from the cross and say, Father, forgive that person who hurt me. I forgive that person. I release all rights I have to claim it against them, to judge them. It doesn't mean that you have to put yourself in harm's way to forgive. That's not what it means. If someone has hurt you and hurt you in a way that's dangerous, and you don't, and forgiveness doesn't mean stepping back into that kind of a situation. But it's you saying yes to the person Jesus is making you to be, not saying yes to the old man in you or what the pain and the bad acts against you are the devil's using to try to deform you. And say, no, I'm not living under the reign of sin and death anymore. I'm not going to live under the dominion and lies of Satan in my life. Yes, I've been hurt. Yes, someone has sinned against me. But I hear the command of my Lord, who I trust totally with my life, and he alone can heal me, he alone can protect me, and ultimately he alone can bring me through this valley of tears back home to my Father, where there will be no more crying, no more pain, no more nothing. I'm going to live by his truth, not my truth. I'm going to live under his dominion. I'm going to live under his lordship, and I'm going to entrust myself to him, and I'm going to obey him. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You'll obey me. So I know my master is telling me, he taught me in the beautiful prayer to our Father. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Right? Deliver us from the evil one. I'm going to talk tomorrow about the reality of the evil one and his work and our victory over him. But today I want to talk about this power at work in us. Paul says, you know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord. For you received the word with much affliction, with joy inspired by the Holy Spirit, and you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. We have an opportunity to become imitators. We're called to be imitators of Paul and the saints and of the Lord himself. As we receive the word, even in the midst, Paul says, of afflictions that are coming against us, but the joy of God's word, the joy of the Spirit inspires us to live a different way of life, to be an encouragement and to be a sign in the presence of the kingdom of God. That's the biggest thing that you're called to do in this world, friends, is to walk in the love of Christ in that freedom and power. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Why Be a Christian? Lots of people are asking that question today, and Ralph speaks candidly of how he found in Christianity the truth. I believe this booklet will strengthen and encourage you in your own faith. For your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.